Ay, bobo. Welcome to the Agua Cerrito podcast show, where we honor the divine, spark personal liberation, and deconstruct Haitian voodoo. I'm your host, Knowledge, also known as Konef Kife. Every episode is a digital offering to the sacred spirits, ancestors, and vibrant culture of Haitian voodoo. Through storytelling, interviews, and reflections, we will explore its roots, its power, and its impact. Voodoo is more than spirituality. It is life, legacy, and liberation. Welcome to another episode of the Agua Cerrito podcast. I'm Professor Knowledge, Professor Kone Kife. In today's episode, we are going to discuss the concept of bonje from a Haitian voodoo lens. Before we do, let's ground ourselves in breath and prayer. Let's start with our breath. Inhale, love. Exhale, fear. Inhale, calmness. Exhale, anxiety. Inhale, hope. Exhale, uncertainty. Allow your breath to align with your heartbeat. Bon Dieu, Grand La, omnipotent energy of all things seen and unseen. Bon Dieu, the architect of the entire universe. Bon Dieu, the master creator of all things beyond universal space and time. We call on you, not from above, but from within. From the beats of our hearts, the rhythm of our breath. From the wisdom passed down through bloodlines and through dreams. We honor the spirits who walk with us, the ancestors who held the line, those names who were stolen, but whose strengths live on within us. We thank you for their courage, their songs, their prayers, their fight. We honor all of our listeners all across the world. May your grace and energy envelope them in their lives, no matter where they are, who they are, or what they are going through. We ask for guidance as we speak our truths. May our words be medicine. May our stories be flames that light the path forward. May this space be protected, sacred, and real. We reject all that was forced on us, the chains, the silence, the shame. And we return to what was always ours, our dignity, our connection, our power, and our joy. Bonje, walk with us during this podcast episode. Guide us during this podcast episode. And illuminate all of us during this podcast episode. Ayibobo, Ayibobo, Ayibobo. So as we get started in today's episode, let's make one thing abundantly clear. Everything that I have is because of God. Everything that I am is because of God. God is the beginning and the ending of my everything. God is the beginning and the ending of everything in Haitian Vodou. So before we tackle the concept of Bonje in Haitian Vodou, I wanted to take a step back in this episode and discuss the concept of the Supreme Being from an academic African cosmology perspective. In the book, African Religions, by Professor Jacob Olupona, the professor provides a great overview of how the Supreme Being is portrayed in African spirituality. Professor Olupona writes, "The Supreme Being remains the most significant superhuman entity in African religions, despite the fact that in practical matters, emphasis is placed on seeking assistance from other deities. This is because the Supreme Being is usually seen as an engineer of fate, and therefore, in a sense, the originator of causality. While other deities and spirits can intervene in the course of events, it is the Supreme Being that ultimately determines their outcome. This premier deity may also be seen as a divine principle of embodying the idea of life, abundance, and the blessings of human procreation and agricultural fertility. Some cultures see the Supreme Being as male, others see it as female, and in other cases, they see it as androgynous or without gender." Professor Olupona also says that the relationship between the many gods and the supreme god varies from region to region across Africa and from people to people. A remote or absent creator god is a common trope in African creation stories. We also hear of this concept of a remote god in Haitian Vodou as well. If you pick up many books, when you think about a lot of different scholarship that's been written about Haitian Vodou, that is essentially the language. And, you know, this is actually one of the reasons I wanted to do this podcast episode, because usually when the concept of the Supreme God or Bonje is discussed from a Haitian Vodou lens, it's typically left at that sentence. It's left at this idea that there is a Supreme God. However, it is remote or it's absent from, everyday life. And the laws are essentially the intermediaries to Bonje, to supporting humans in their everyday matters and affairs. And while that is true, that is just a portion of the story. And so my goal in this episode is that I'm going to address this trope. Why is it that there's this idea of a supreme god, yet it is absent? It is considered absent when we think about both African cosmology, but also thinking about Haitian Vodou cosmology. So I want to talk about that, but I want to, most importantly, in order to make sense of this idea and this narrative, I want to take some time in this episode to deconstruct and decolonize this interpretation, particularly for our listeners that are hearing this narrative with a Western lens, to better understand what it actually truly means. If we think about the concept of Bonje and Vodoun, that is Haitian Vodou before the transformation of the religion into the New World. So when we think about Vodoun, the Fon and Ewe people within Benin Republic believed in the idea of a twin entity that they considered the supreme being, and they called it the Maulisa. Professor Olupona discusses this concept of Maulisa in the book African Religions. The professor says, in Vodoun, the Fon emphasize this idea of a dual creator god to emphasize the balance and cooperation between male and female necessary for creation to occur. Androgynous notions of the supreme god suggest that equilibrium in the cosmos depends on a balance between equal and opposite forces. And you know what's really fascinating is that within the Vodoun, this is Vodou with an N, within the Vodoun Fon cosmology, God is actually split into three aspects. There's what we call the Maulisa, which is the female and male twin entity, but there's also what's called Nana Buluku. And in Fon cosmology, Nana Buluku is the primordial creator, the overall primordial creator, who essentially created the Maulisa twins, yet all three are considered God. And when you think about the concept of Nana Buluku and the Maulisa twins, we essentially arrive at the concept of Trinity. And if we think about it from a theological perspective, this is actually comparative to the Western idea of a Trinity. And when we think about the Holy Trinity in Western theological perspectives, the Trinity is typically seen as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so within the Vodoun Fon cosmology, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is represented as Nana Buluku and the two Maulisa twins. In this context, Nana Buluku is usually described as a genderless, androgynous being who gave birth to these twins. And after creating the twins, Nana Buluku essentially withdrew from active involvement in the world. So in this kind of cosmological lens, Nana Buluku is essentially consider that idea of a remote god that's not worshiped directly, and instead the Maulisa is treated as the supreme god that is revered in everyday religious life and worshiped along with the Vodun spirits. So if we go back to Haitian Vodun, let's kind of talk about the transfer or the transformation, right? How did we go from this idea of a Trinity God within Beninese Vodun to the concept of Bonje in Haitian Vodou? This is an important pivot for anyone wanting to understand Vodou. This is an important pivot to understand from a theological cosmological perspective. When we think about Maulisa, that's the Diomen supreme deity that represent what we call divine duality. Maulisa was not erased during the transatlantic journey, but rather was transformed into what Haitians called Bonje. And if you think about the word Bonje, Bonje is actually a French word, which means good God, right? Bonje. It's actually two words. And Haitians transformed it and kind of, you know, consider it as one word, right? So it's kind of one word, Bonje. But Maulisa is the transformation interpretation that we now know in Haitian Vodou as Bonje. And this was very strategically done. So you got to remember again the importance of the history of the Haitians and the aspect of slavery. This wasn't just about assimilation. This was one nuanced example of syncretism as a way to hide the African God in plain sight under the guise of Christian terminology. So Maulisa is still Maulisa, even in Haitian Vodou terms. It has simply been transformed to be called what we now know as Gametla, or sometimes you hear Bonje. You hear those two terms interchangeably. And remember, why is that, right? So again, we've talked about this in other episodes in season one. Under the French colony, right, the colonialism on the island of Saint-Domingue, which we now call Haiti, enslaved Africans were forced to convert to Catholicism. And I talk about this at length. Again, check out some of my episodes in the first season where I unpack that and I talk about the events that led up to the Haitian Revolution and Haitian Vodou's role in the freedom of the Haitian people. Because of enslaved Africans having to be forced to conversion, many enslaved Africans strategically masked their religion behind the guise of Catholic saints. They strategically masked their religion under the guise of French language. So referring to their supreme god as Bonje to the colonizers appeared to be compliant, yet they reserved their African cosmology beneath the surface. So they still revered Maulisa, but they called Maulisa Bonje as a tactic for survival. This was what I call strategic camouflage for survival of the religion. Aibowo. So this idea that the transformation of Maulisa to Bonje doesn't change the essence, right? It doesn't change the essence of this supreme being. It's really a case of cultural resilience, right? And what's interesting is that if you think about the word Bonje itself, it's a linguistic adaptation that typically refers to the supreme being as a masculine entity, right? So many practitioners and some scholars note that Bonje transcends gender and truly seeks to honor the sacred feminine energy, right? Because when you think about it, Maulisa is a male and female creator god. So it seeks to honor the divine energies between the two gods. We see this concept also in Hinduism as well. But conceptually, Mawalisa is essentially closer to the day-to-day and the interventions within humans and working with the laws. And that's really the ultimate goal of thinking about this from a cosmological perspective. So just to kind of wrap up this idea from a Haitian Vodou worldview, to be abundantly clear, Bonje is not the Christian God. And we're gonna spend time breaking down why that is throughout the rest of today's episode. So despite the shared name and how because of the oppression, because of the, you know, all of the persecution of Haitian Vodou, there's this idea to try to compress and oppress what Bonje is in Haitian Vodou. And many people seem to sometimes conflate the Christian God with the Haitian Vodou Bonje. And there's a distinct cosmological, theological difference. And so again, we're going to spend the rest of today's episode breaking that down. So even though it's a shared name, it is a different entity. You know, because Bonje is Mawulisa in exile, right? It's been renamed and it's been camouflaged for survival, but it has stayed as a concept structurally intact alongside Nana Buluku. With that, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue to deconstruct the concept of Bonje in Haitian Vodou. Hope you're enjoying today's episode. Have a question, comment, or feedback? Feel free to send us an email at aguacedito@gmail.com. That's aguacedito@gmail.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.aguacedito.com for more information about past episodes, show notes, and more. I have broken down the concept of Bonje into 10, I'm going to call these 10 principles that we're going to spend the rest of today's episode talking through each of the 10 principles as it relates to thinking about Bonje from a Haitian Vodou cosmological, theological perspective. So let's start with principle number one. Bonje is not a sky king, yet Bonje is considered a cosmic principle. When we think about this specific idea, Bonje is not a quote unquote a person, right? In the way that the Christian God, it may depict Bonje. Bonje is not this idea of this man that sits on a throne in the clouds making, you know, judgment calls. That's a lot of sometimes the narrative when people think about the idea of God. That is sometimes the visual, the mental map that people associate with God. But in Haitian Vodou, Bonje is often linked to the concept of mystère. It's often linked to this idea of a divine mystery. And when we say a divine mystery, what do we mean by that? Bonje is the breath of life. So that was Bonje. Bonje is the source of vibration and rhythm. It's the mystère behind all of existence, beyond our human comprehension. Bonje is not just a definition. Bonje is a vibration that we experience. And we experience Bonje in our everyday life, through our breath, through our dreams, if we think about it from a voodoo perspective, through our prayers and through our rituals. You know, Bunje is transcendent, present in all things and all matters. And it is the source of all Mista, right? Because Bunje and the laws themselves are manifestations of these mysteries. Each law essentially being a divine energy that holds a facet, what I sometimes called in the past, an expression of the ultimate divine power that is Bunje. And Bunje is not far away because Bunje does not care, but rather Bunje has created a cosmic system that doesn't require constant interference. And the system is designed with laws. You know, we always hear about different like universal laws and spiritual laws. And if we think about it from a scientific lens, there's physics and different ways of constructing how things work in the universe. And it's through laws. So in this sense, Bunje created a universe that doesn't require constant interference. And it functions through this idea and this currency of balance, of reciprocity, and of ancestral energy. So in this lens, voodoo is not systematic, but yet it's experiential. It is lived with. This is why we think of, you know, within Haitian voodoo, we think of, you know, the cosmology. It is a lived, embodied religion, right? It is not something that we just read and we hear. It is something we experience, which is why many voodoo liaisons consider and say that voodoo is not just a religion. It's bigger than a religion. It's a way of light. And it's a way of life, right? And so, that's when we think about this idea of an experiential living religion, it kind of, again, tethers itself to the idea of the supreme being, the supreme Bunje. Principle number two. Bunje is part of a divine delegation, right? It's part of a divine network. And this goes back to this idea that Bunje created this structured system that's based on math and science, right? That's, you know, has specific laws. So in this context, theologically, Bunje is also considered the architect of the universe, because they designed a divine system that empowers other beings, such as the laws, to manage its specific functions. And in this way, Haitian voodoo operates more like a spiritual ecosystem. So for example, if we think about the ways that we embody and we experience Bunje on a regular basis from that kind of that divine delegation. And they think about delegation, right? The idea of someone delegating, right? Someone that has authority and they're giving others aspects of their authority in order to carry out or execute their specific mission. So when we think about divine delegation, that's the language we're talking about. So in the idea, if we take that, we think about the sun, right? Bunje is the sun. And when I say the sun, I'm talking about the what's in the sky, S-U-N, right? It's vital, but unreachable, right? So it's considered like the sun. I have another analogy I want to share as well here. And the laws are like the rays, right? They bring the light, they bring the energy to specific aspects of life. So in this context, Bunje is the sun. Everything lives through Bunje. Without the sun, we do not exist, right? And the laws are kind of the sun rays that beam down and people experience and feel them, right? So that's kind of an example of this idea of a spiritual ecosystem. And when we think about divine delegation, I want to revisit that narrative about a supreme being being distant, right? In this idea, distance does not mean absent. According to African cosmologies, the supreme deity, so when we think about the supreme deity, is not uninterested, but is simply too immense. It's too sacred and it's too vast for constant human contact. And just like we have in nature, there are various levels and layers of beings, but it is through these various levels, the divine flows through these networks in a divine delegated order, not directly. And, you know, I used the concept of the sun and the rays earlier, but I think of this idea of divine delegation. I also think about this, if we take this to kind of, you know, human, you know, man-made types of creation, think of it like electricity, right? As humans, we cannot be exposed to raw electricity. If you go and you touch the rail, let's say if you touch a rail, you touch a wire that has a raw electricity going through it, what's going to happen, right? The person is going to get electrocuted. Why? Because the electrical power that is emanating from that wire is too immense, right? It's too immense for human contact. It would be deadly. So think of Bonje, right, as kind of this supreme deity that is just too immense. So instead, how do we access electricity? Every day, we access electricity through various different layers of networks, right? You can access electricity through outlets, you'll use a cord, you'll plug it into a specific system, and there's all types of other channels that are used, USB ports, like there's so many different channels that are used depending on the specific item or object, right? Or means of access to the specific electricity that you want to obtain without direct contact, right? There's all types of ways we access electricity on a regular basis. And what we've seen over the years is that access to electricity and what electricity is made of stays the same scientifically, but how we access it, the channels to which we use and how we use it and what we use it for changes over time. That technology changes over time. Right? But we still, no matter how it changes, we still cannot access raw electricity with our human hands. It is a similar concept. I actually think this concept, it really bodes well when you think about this idea of Bonje from a Haitian voodoo lens. This concept of divine delegation also mirrors traditional African values, right? Where the sense of hierarchy, the sense of respect for power, and understanding not all forces are meant to be touched, or in some cases even seen directly. Like, we cannot look at the sun with our human eyes, right? We usually have to look at the sun with sunglasses or other types of shade because, again, that direct access. So even the sun, we can't even look at it directly, right? Without there being other forms of channels, other layers. So it's essentially the same, right? We think about African values and this idea of hierarchy. Certain forces are accessed through the proper channels. And it really brings home this idea that Bonje is really part of a divine delegated network. If we think about principle number three essentially discusses and talks about Bonje and how Bonje is felt in all of nature, in all of the elements, right? And so when we think about, you know, when we experience and we think about rain, we think about, earlier I was talking about electricity, we think about lightning, we think about the wind, the trees, the mountains, the oceans, right? The earth. All of these are expressions of Bonje's power and presence. And the Haitian Vodou laws are deeply embedded, deeply rooted in the natural world. And since Bonje created the laws, the land itself becomes sacred. So there's this idea, especially in Haitian Vodou, that nature is sacred, right? The rain is sacred. Lightning is sacred. The trees are sacred. The rivers are sacred. That is because all of these areas, they all have Bonje's energy that flows throughout all of these different aspects of expression, right? And we also see a lot in Haitian voodoo that a lot of ceremonies, a lot of rituals, they often take place outside. So there's sometimes they'll be taking place outside near a body of water. They'll take place near a tree or near the crossroads or anywhere that's kind of helping voodooizans connect back to nature, which ultimately connects them back to Bonje. And this idea of Bonje and its connection with nature aligns with the African values that divinity is not separate from nature, but rather it truly embodies it. So we think about principle number 4. Let's talk about ethics for a moment and this idea of harmony and balance. So within Haitian voodoo, there's no such thing as the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is more of a Christian, more of a Western way of thinking about ethics from a religious context. Within Haitian voodoo, Bonje's will, I should say, is reflected in the natural order of things. It's reflected in the communal harmony, right? It's reflected in the health to which we see balance, respect, and reciprocity taking shape. So when things fall out of balance, when there is constant sickness, constant misfortune, constant spiritual disruptions, not only within humans or within a specific human community, but also in nature. When you see things fall out of balance within nature, it's not because of this idea that Bonje is angry, but it's because the laws, the universal laws, the relationship, the reciprocity that holds each of these interconnectedly together have somehow broken down. And when we say the relationships, we're talking about, again, because all of these are interconnected. The spirits, the laws, our ancestors, the land, ourselves, other humans, other human communities. In Haitian voodoo, these are not separate entities. These are all woven and interconnected. And so whenever there's something that falls out of balance, and there's misfortune or any sort of disharmony, it is because there's something that is broken down in the layers of the divine delegation. And this idea of when things break down, it is not as a form of punishment or as a form of an angry, jealous Bonje. It is actually a call for healing. So when Haitian voodoo, when we think about things being out of balance, our goal is to say, oh my gosh, we're being punished. It's more of how do we get back in alignment? How do we create a sense of restoration over retribution? And how do we recognize the elements to which we need for our own healing, as well as the healing of our communities, the healing of our country, the healing of the earth? How do we find ways to heal? I feel that in the time and space that we are all living in today, from a Haitian voodoo cosmology perspective, we are in need of massive, massive, massive layers of healing. Ai bobo. That is what we are in need of in order to bring these relationships back to center. In order to bring these relationships back to balance. Very, very important to understand. Principle number 5. I want to take a moment and talk about this idea of Bonje and destiny. There's a lot of different ideas around whether individuals, they come on the earth, they're incarnated on this earth, and are they able to shape their destiny, or are they essentially fulfilling a destiny that was pre-written for them and they're just kind of walking through the path, right? And if so, where does free will fit in all of this, right? As with anything, I believe it is not a this or that answer. I believe it's an and. We have a specific destiny And we have free will as to how we fulfill the mission of our destiny and the manner to which we do it. So in Haitian Vodou, it teaches us that each person has a destiny, right? They have a spiritual path or a purpose that was chosen before birth. And sometimes, you know, in some theologies, you sometimes hear this idea of spiritual contracts. But sometimes this is done, this destiny has been set forth with the help of spirits or sometimes with the help of their ancestors. So where does Bonje fit into this? Bonje grants the destiny, right, that's been set before an individual before birth. However, Bonje does not dictate every detail of your life. And I think it's interesting. I wanna bring up a concept that we sometimes hear used in Ifa and Yoruba Ifa principles, right? One of the Yoruba Ifa principles that comes to mind when I think about this aspect of Bonje and destiny. One of the principles in Ifa states that besides the day you were born and the day you were going to die, those two events are non-negotiable, right? Those have already been set. Everything in between that can be changed. That is this idea of destiny and Ifa, saying the day you were born is set, the day you're going to die is set. Everything in between is kind of up for negotiation. And so when I think about this idea of, you know, an individual being birthed or being born on a specific day or in a specific place by in a specific family, you know, in a specific part of the world, right? That to me speaks to the spiritual path and purpose of that individual. And that cannot be changed, right? And nor can the day of death can be changed. But everything in between is up, right? And I believe this concept, even though specifically that's an Ifa principle, I believe it holds very true and is very comparable when we think about it in Haitian Vodou. So there's some doctrine, this, you know, again, from a Western lens, there's this idea that individuals are born with sin. And, you know, your goal is that you're born with sin and then you spend the rest of your life really trying to kind of save yourself, so to speak, from original sin. That's kind of theologically an aspect of Bonje and destiny from a Western lens. But within a Haitian Vodou Bonje cosmology lens, you are born into a cosmic web and you're already born with a spiritual path. You're born with a spiritual purpose. You are born with specific gifts and specific responsibilities. And your job in this context is that you are co-creating your life with the laws and with your ancestors, right? So it's not about guilt. It's about accountability. It's about remembering who you are, remembering who your ancestors were, remembering who your laws are, and taking charge of your destiny. Understanding and learning it as you go forward and moving through your destiny. So in this context, Bonje is not seen as a judge that's judging people for original sin, but rather as a witness of their creation of you, as a witness of their divine ecosystem at work, right? With all of its functions and the laws and the ancestors. It is acting as a witness to your unfolding. It is a beautiful web and a beautiful sense of, you know, allowing you to take charge of your life, right? Not to say, oh my goodness, I'm just born this way and hey, what, it doesn't matter if, you know, this is what I'm supposed to do or my path and, you know, it doesn't matter. No, it does matter. Because you, each person was brought here with gifts, was brought here with a purpose. Your job is to remember those gifts, co-create your life with your laws, co-create your life with your ancestors. So with that, we're gonna take a break and we're gonna come back and wrap up the concept of Bonje in Haitian Vodou.
Are you passionate about Haitian Vodou, its history and its role in shaping the Haitian culture in the world? Then let us introduce you to COSAMBA, the premier scholarly association dedicated to the study of Haitian Vodou and Pan-African religions. COSAMBA brings together scholars, practitioners, and the broader community to explore the richness of Pan-African traditions. Through research, conferences, and community engagement, COSAMBA keeps the sacred tradition of Haitian voodoo alive while fostering deeper understandings. Whether you're a scholar, a student, or simply someone seeking to learn more about these powerful faith traditions, COSAMBA is your gateway to knowledge and connections. Visit COSAMBA, COSANBA.org to learn more and join the movement.
Want to make a difference in a child's life? The Empowerment Network 10 Global, founded by Dr. Charlene Dazier, is transforming communities by providing children with opportunities to learn, grow, and thrive. Through summer camps, leadership programs, and educational support, 10 Global creates safe, nurturing spaces where children can develop confidence, life skills, and a brighter future. Centered in Haitian Vodou cosmology and African spirituality, these programs give kids the tools they need to succeed, whether it's academically, socially, spiritually, or emotionally. But we need your help. By donating, volunteering, or spreading the word, you can help provide scholarships, supplies, and life-changing experiences for these young minds. Visit 10global.org today. That's TENGLOBAL.org. Get involved or get connected. Together, we empower. Together, we rise. Principle number 6. Let's think about Bonje and the role that Bonje had during the Haitian Revolution. For enslaved Africans that were brought to the island of Hispaniola, the very act of believing in Bonje, the very act of believing in Maulisa and believing in Nanu Bulukulu and believing to continue to serve the laws were a form of revolution. And the fact that they did this in plain sight was extremely powerful, even that specific act. So in this concept, we see how Bonje really helped act as a vehicle for resistance and liberation. Bonje allowed the enslaved Africans to retain their spiritual autonomy within the expression that was created in Africa under the brutality of colonialism. And this cosmology affirmed that African people were not cursed, as colonizers sometimes claim, but actually divine source. And we see this in action, particularly during the Wakaima ceremony that took place in August 14th, 1791, that sparked the Haitian Revolution. We see this where both Bonje and the laws were invoked. You know, in past episodes, we had shared with you Bukman's prayer that essentially became the catalyst, right, to really break the Haitian Revolution into being, where they justified and said, hey, in our God, when we think about our Trinity God, there is no such thing as oppression. There's no such thing as suffering, because in our God, it's all about harmony and balance and reciprocity. And so we are coming to get what is our divine birthright, regardless of how much they tried to make us forget it. So in this concept, Bonje is not just a cosmic creator. Bonje is the god of Black freedom. Bonje is the god of ancestral memory. And in the means of how Haiti became the first and only to this day successful slave revolution that resulted in the Republic of a Nation, Bonje is spiritual sovereignty. We think about concept number 7. Bonje is actually seen in many rituals, many prayers, many songs in Haitian Vodou. So it's really interesting that even though this concept of Bonje is kind of prevalent, and even though Bonje is not necessarily worshipped directly, many Vodou songs and chants invoke Bonje as a foundation of spiritual power. We see that across all, if you go to any ceremony, you hear any rituals or prayers or songs, you will hear Bonje being referred to. So I'm going to sing one of my favorite. This is one of my favorite prayer lines that I'm going to sing that refers to Bonje. Okay. Get an Igbo. La Vierge Marie n'a point before passe Bonje a chanou la gede. Get an Igbo. La Vierge Marie n'a point before passe Bonje a chanou la gede. Bawanye before passe Bonje. Bawanye before passe Bonje la gede Igbo. La Vierge Marie n'a point before passe Bonje a chanou la gede. So that is a prayer line, and it essentially is translating to say gede Igbo. The Virgin Mary, there's nothing more powerful than God. We are Gede, right? And just saying, it just kept saying that same line, like, there's nothing more powerful than God. And that specific prayer is actually a stanza and a prayer that is honoring the Gede spirits, right? And we talked about the Gede spirits. And we're gonna delve into, I can't wait for that episode in the future. We're gonna delve into Gede more in the future. But when you think about that concept and that prayer verse, it's not just a sentence. It's a spiritual declaration, right? That is really talking about the power of God, but at the same time honoring the Gede spirits. And that is just one example. There are many references of God in Haitian Vodou songs across all nations, right? You know, in the future, I would love to have a conversation with Asamba. Asamba is a singer, you know, that sings and specializes in Haitian Vodou songs. In the future, I would love to have Asamba on this podcast where we can come back to this idea of God in songs, because I personally, I hypothesize, and I don't know this to be true, but I hypothesize that in every nation, every loi, every escort has at least one song or a prayer that references God within it. That's my hypothesis. I'm not sure, but I would love to unpack that with an expert song singer, a Vodou singer with that. But in this aspect, if we think about this, you know, this concept, Bonje is acknowledged. Bonje is acknowledged, contrary to this Western idea and this belief that Haitian Vodou is demonic. Bonje is actually acknowledged throughout songs, throughout in the beginning of a ceremony, is honored throughout the ceremony, and it's a way to sanctify the space and call in the spiritual hierarchy, right? To call in this idea of a spiritual energy. So it's very, very important to recognize how Bonje is embedded within the Haitian Vodou religion. So if we think about concept number 8, you know, how does Bonje compare to other ideas of a god across other religions? So we took some hints. We spoke about a couple of different hints, specifically talking about the Christian God. And the reason we specifically talked about the Christian God is because the word Bonje came from a Christian lens as a result of the oppressed enslaved Africans that sought to transform the Maulisa idea, the concept of Maulisa, into a god that they can continue to worship and praise without retribution. So that is why we specifically talked about Christian God, because again, of that oppression and the forced conversion of many enslaved Africans. But it's not just, you know, Christian God, right? There's a lot of other religions that do also have this idea of a specific god, right? And if we think about it, it's really interesting that there are hundreds of different names and hundreds of different expressions of Bonje across other world religions, right? So, you know, Christianity, the idea is called, it's called a god. If we think about in Islam, the Bonje is considered Allah. If we think about Judaism, it's Adonai, right? Or Elohim. If we think about Hinduism, there's many names for the Supreme Being. So we have Brahman, Ishvara, Vishnu, Shiva, Krishna, Devi. These are all kind of different Supremes and different sects of Hinduism. And even, with, you know, I talked about Hinduism earlier where there's kind of the male, female kind of similar comparison to like the Mawulisa in Haitian Vodou. If we think about Zoroastrianism, Ahura Mazda, which is considered a wise lord, is another name. If we go to, you know, if we go back to Africa, Oludamari is considered kind of the supreme god, you know, within Yoruba. If we think about the Akan, the Nyame is considered the supreme god. If we think about the Native Americans, the Lakota tribe, Wakantanka, which I think we talked about in earlier comparison, that is considered their supreme god. We think about in Chinese folk religion, this idea of Shengdi, the supreme emperor, is considered a specific god. If we think about Taoism, we think about Tao, right? Which is sometimes called the way, right? The ultimate principle, right? That is an aspect and an idea of the supreme being, or considered Bonje, right? If we think about Gnosticism, the idea of the nomad, right? So across religions, they may call it something different. They may have a different way that they see it. In some religions, they are more similar to a Western lens where the god is a little bit more distant and there is a sense of having intermediary energies and deities. And in others, people pray to their god and worship God directly, right? They have direct worship and prayer, and that is their connection. Either or, we see that Bonje is comparable to other world religions when we think about this concept of a supreme being. Concept and principle number 9. This kind of goes back to this idea of harmony and balance. I want to talk about justice, right? Principle number 9 is about where does Bonje sit when we think about this idea of justice? And again, I want to reemphasize that Bonje has this idea, there's a strong concept of spiritual justice in Vodou. And it goes, again, not about punishment and fear, but more in having confidence in the divine order of the structure and the universal system that Bonje has already put in place to be kind of a self-governing universe, right? So what's really interesting is that injustices may not be resolved immediately, but the spiritual world sees and remembers. You know, sometimes you hear people say the body always remembers trauma. In that aspect, the spiritual world always sees and remembers trauma, right? And this is really important to understand, right? That there's this powerful concept for people who've endured all types of hardships, who've endured oppressions, who've endured all types of injustices. The oppressors do not escape accountability. Even though it may appear to the human eye that the quote unquote, those that are oppressed kind of quote unquote, get away with certain things. No one never gets away from anything. And if you think about it, it goes back to this idea of reincarnation, right? Everything has to balance itself out, and it may not happen within a lifetime. It may not happen in 10 lifetimes, right? It all goes back to this idea of divine timing, and it goes back to this idea of a divine order. So trust, when we think about Bonje and this idea of justice, there is absolutely justice, but that justice is a self-reliance and confidence in the divine order. And I think why this concept can sometimes be hard for individuals to grapple, because people, when something is, someone is harmed, or they see people that are harmed, there's this idea that people want immediate justice. They want to see retribution. They want to see things on their time, on a human time. And you have to remember, everything is on divine timing. So trusting in the confidence of divine order and knowing that justice will be served is an important concept within Haitian Vodou. Along the lines of justice, I want to talk about one of our last concepts and our last principles is this idea of bonje and the plurality of truth. Now this may trigger some individuals in this last principle, but I think it's an important one to end this episode on, because it's one of the most beautiful and unique aspects of Vodou theology. It goes back to this idea of syncretism, right? This fluidity and tolerance for multiple truths. Okay, I'm gonna say that again. Bonje, in the sense of a Haitian Vodou theology and cosmology, creates space for there to be fluidity and tolerance for multiple truths. What do we mean by that statement? We mean that two things can be true at one time. For some reason, especially when we think about it from a westernized perspective, things have to be binary. I don't know why that is, but that is the mindset that many individuals have. Things have to be left or right, up or down, right or wrong. And we talked about this in the last season. But in Haitian Vodou, it is actually more fluid than that. And there's this idea of syncretism, and there's this idea of transformation, and this idea of cycles, of cyclical cycles. There's this idea of reincarnation. If you look at all these different ideas, they all have the same theme. You do not need to adhere to exclusivity in order to walk a specific truth. You can have multiple truths and all the truths be equally accurate at the same time. And this, for some reason, triggers a lot of folks, because a lot of individuals have built a mindset or built dogma or built ideas around this idea of binary, right? Around this idea of binary. And when you think about most ideological perspectives that have a binary view, there's usually an intent to oppress, an intent to dominate and control, right? To create fear. Haitian Vodou is not about creating fear. As much as they try to project fear onto Haitian Vodou, Haitian Vodou itself is not about fear. In that concept, let's go back to Bonje. In that concept, Bonje is not jealous. There is not a jealous God. That does not exist in Haitian Vodou cosmology. Nor is Bonje considered exclusive. What do we mean by that? That means in Haitian Vodou, you can serve Bonje and the laws and still honor Jesus and still honor your ancestors. I know some people are not going to be happy about this, but we're deconstructing and we're decolonizing, and so we're telling the truth. And that is why you see many Vodouisans, they not only serve their laws, they serve their ancestors. You see Vodouisans, they go to church. They go, many of them are Roman Catholics. They also pray to saints. They also go on religious pilgrimages, because they know that within their cosmology, there is tolerance for multiple truths. And when there's tolerance for multiple truths in Haitian Vodou, and you see an individual serving the laws, you see an individual serving Bonje, you see an individual serving the ancestors, you see an individual serving Roman Catholic saints, it's because they're also honoring their ancestors' path. It is not about, oh, we're going to decolonize and we're going to pick and choose what we selectively focus on. No, this goes back to règlement, right? If your ancestors left before you a structural blueprint that included honoring your laws under the guise of Roman Catholic saints, that can still be true. You can still do that, still honor them. They still be real. You are still looking at things from a decolonized lens, and you're honoring the path that your ancestors had to go through in order for them to even survive to pass you the règlement in the first place. So it's important that we do not try to pick and choose or cherry pick. It is interwoven. I see this concept of plurality of truth in Haitian voodoo like a braid. Think about it like a hair braid, right? If you have a hair braid and you take one piece of the you take one strand out and you take another strand out because you don't like those strands or you don't like the texture or the color or whatever the case is, what happens to your braid? It starts to unravel because you need to take all of it, all of the good, all of the bad, all the transformations, all of the truths. They all become your one multiple lens of truths. And that's again why, again, not only within Haitian voodoo, we see this in other Afro-diasporic religions where individuals honor their specific indigenous religious aspects, and they honor what was put on their ancestors as the colonized oppressed religion. They honor both, and both coexist in harmony. And so in this concept, this is where you see the magnificence of bonje in action, in that you can have individuals serve and revere both a Roman Catholic religion as well as their indigenous African religions and be in coexistence and co-harmony. And it is not a contradiction, as Western ideals will lead you to believe. It is layered spirituality. Layered spirituality. Bonje in this concept is too vast to be contained in one form or one name or one set of rules or right or wrong or yes or no or up or down, right? Voodoo theology in this context, when we think about bonje and creating this system of fluidity, voodoo theology is embodied. It is oral, and because it's embodied and it is oral, it allows for this flexibility. It allows for the adaptation. It allows for the resilience and the transformation that we see. If that did not happen, if voodoo did not have this sense of, pliability, so to speak, as a structure, as a system, it would have never ceased to exist by the time individuals were oppressed in the New World. It wouldn't cease to exist. And that shows the flexibility. That flexibility and that transformation shows the power of bonje in action, right? And the pluralism of that specific truth is one of Haitian voodoo's that is just a cosmological genius tactic. It is a spiritual genius technology, and what keeps people trying to oppress it, right? They can never, no matter how much you see, they think they have a grapple on it, and they're just like, oh, we've gotten rid of this darn religion, we're getting rid of it, we're gonna oppress it, we're gonna do all these things, we're gonna burn temples, we're gonna oppress people, we're gonna annihilate, we're gonna do all these things to shame and try to get rid of it. Voodoo absorbs what life gets it. Voodoo absorbs, what serves life and what life throws at it and its community, and lets go of what doesn't. And it's in this absorption, it's in this syncretism that we see voodoo will always exist. No matter what people try to do, no matter what happens, the concept and the religion of voodoo will always exist because of that plurality of truth that bonje has embedded within the cosmology of the structural order of Haitian voodoo and voodoo itself. Because bonje in this expression of a religion is not about rigid rules, but it's about the right harmony and balance and relationship with the world around us. So it's a beautiful, so when you think about, when we unpack that, right? And again, like I said, some people may be upset. There may be a little butthurt about that perspective, but it is the truth. And it is a way that we are looking at decolonizing and deconstructing this idea of bonje. And on the last note, before I kind of wrap up, I want to say one more thing. And I said this earlier about, bonje not being this like king in the sky that's like punishing people, right? Bonje is within all of us. Voodoo cosmology, teaches us that bonje lives inside each and every single person, right? So when we think about the concepts of the soul, right? In the past episodes, we talked about the multiple components of your soul, right? There's aspects of your soul that connects directly with Bunje, connects directly with your ancestors, connects directly with the cosmic order. And it affirms this idea of dignity and sacredness when it comes to each individual, right? When it comes to personhood, you're not a sinner trying to earn love. You were already born with a divine essence. You were already born with your divine right. And it is your job to remember and walk your purpose alongside co-creating it with your laws, co-creating it with your ancestors. You know, in Voodoo, they teach us that we are never alone. They teach us that we are not sinners, but we are actually spiritual beings navigating a world of visible and invisible forces, right? And we're doing so with dignity, wisdom, and power. So those were my 10 principles of Bunje within Haitian Voodoo. And with that wraps up today's episode on the Agua Cerrito podcast. Tune in next time. We will be discussing Wunta. Wunta, for those that are not familiar, Wunta is actually the spirit of the drums. It's really interesting. The spirit of the drums are rarely discussed in a kind of a mainstream context. Yet, the drums are such an important anchor within Haitian Voodoo. So I'm really looking forward to us unpacking and talking about Wunta and talking about the idea of the spirit within the drums. But before we leave for today, let's go ahead and close out with prayer. Bunje, sacred force of life and light, we give thanks for the space we've shared, for the truth spoken, for the wounds tended, for the laughter, the learning, and the love. To the laws that walk with us, thank you for holding us, guiding us, and speaking through us. To the ancestors, both known and unknown, both named and unnamed, we honor your presence. We carry your fire forward. As we close this podcast episode, we do not close our hearts. May every listener leave with something real, something rooted, something rising. May our paths be protected. May our voices remain free. And may our stories echo beyond borders. Bunje, continue to watch over us in light, in shadow, and in truth. Aye Bobo, Aye Bobo, Aye Bobo. Thank you for tuning into the Agua Cerrito podcast. Thank you for joining us on the Agua Cerrito podcast show. Together we honor our ancestors, embrace the beauty of Vodou, and step boldly toward liberation. If this episode resonated with you, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. It helps us amplify the spirit of Haitian Vodou even further. Join us next week as we continue this journey to connect, inspire, and uplift. Until then, walk boldly with your spirits. And remember, the Agua Cerrito Show is not just a podcast. It is a vibration, a celebration, a path to freedom.